Blog Talk Radio.
Do you want to know what your readers really think? Spend 10 minutes with a reader and see the literary world through their eyes. Nikki Michelle presents 10 Minutes with a Reader, a show that takes you into the mind of a book lover. Enjoy.
Hello, hello, and good evening, everyone. Welcome to the sixth episode of 10 Minutes with a Reader, a show that takes you inside the mind of a book lover. And this evening, I am so very excited because we have none other than Kay Ree Simmons as our guest. Woohoo! I'm excited. She's known to the literary world as an avid reader, reviewer, and supporter of the indie author scene. And tonight I'm going to get her to tell me what she really thinks about the literary world. Welcome to the show, Kay Ree.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much for having me, Nikki. I'm so excited to be here with you. This is amazing. And congratulations. I didn't even know this was like a format, like a radio show. I thought it was just like a regular podcast. This is amazing. I'm so excited and proud for you.
Thank you. Thank you. You know, I always, even, well, before I was a writer, I was a reader, obviously. But now, you know, being on the other side of it sometimes, although I'm still an avid reader, don't get that twisted. I've always wanted to know exactly what readers thought about books, but I wanted to be able to do it in a setting where I give the spotlight completely to you guys, because I know you guys have a lot to say, especially we're in a couple of groups together, so I know you guys have a lot to say. So before we jump into those questions, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and some of your favorite genres to read?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I am a Georgia resident, as yourself, transplanted from Miami, transplanted there from Jamaica. So reading has been with me for a long time, and some writing. So I was thinking about this, you know, coming up to our interview, and it made me think about when I would come up here for the summers and visit my grandmother. And, you know, being a latchkey kid because she still worked. And, of course, you're not going to stay home all day and would just watch TV. And she would give me assignments to read, of course. But I also had to write stories for her. Mm-hmm. And I actually really liked that. I would decorate my papers with, you know, different things, seashells and all sorts of things, depending on what my story was about. So, I've always been a reader, and then I feel like I dropped off somewhere in my mid, late 20s to 30-somethings, and then I've discovered audiobooks lately, and I've been insatiable the last about 2-3 years.
Listen, audiobooks came in and swept us by storm, because I remember when I first learned about audiobooks, I was like, nah, I'm going to need to hold my book in my hands. Like, these people might be boring. And then we got black narrators. And, baby, listen. Black narrators came through swinging.
It makes a difference.
It does.
It makes a big difference. I've been trying to get so many people on the train. I got one of my little sisters. But a lot, some of the people are like, I don't know, it just seems so weird. I was like, no, you have to, like, first of all, you have to find the right one, the right narrator. Because I've listened to some where I'm like, okay, all right, I'm going to just push on through this. but when you find the right one, I just, like, gorge on their catalog.
Yes. Listen, speaking of the right ones, you guys, I've done this before, but I just have to brag about how cool and down-to-earth freaking Emmanuel Ingram is. He is amazing. Not only did he do a good job of bringing my book Scandalous to life, when I reached out to him and asked him to do when I reached Praise out God. To him and asked him to, I was like, do you think you can kind of do an intro, a clip for me? Not only did he do an intro, he did two intros and an outro for me. And I was just like, I was screaming when I heard him on my intros and outros. So I just want to give a huge shout out to you, Emmanuel.
Shout out to you. Yes. When I heard the show and I was like, wait a minute, is that my man? Is that Manny? Okay, Nikki, I see you out here in these streets. And he seems so sweet, though, and, like, super down to earth. And, of course, Wesley, too. But, he seems, like, really just, like, down for the cause and wants to just, you know, grow and build in this community, in this space. And it's amazing. I think that's part of why we are so supportive of him and we ride for him so much and we love him. Besides, you know, the growls and all the things that he does for us on Thursdays.
Every time you mention that, I was just talking to Kayrie about this. I still can't get over Manny's play on words is you have to be prepared because he definitely knows how to play on words. And during one of their lives, I think it was last week, he might have said, I know Kayrie. She rides me all the time. And I about fell off my sofa.
He knew I needed that birthday present because when I tell you he said that, and if you didn't know black girls could blush, they can.
Baby,
my body was just heated all over, and my soul left my body.
That's how I felt when he sent me the chapters for Scandalous. Like I was listen, but you know what? I'm not even going to go into that because we'll do that behind the scenes because we'll be talking all night. And I want to get to these questions because the show is 10 minutes with the reader. So tonight the spotlight is all about you. So let's jump right into it. You ready?
I'm ready. Thank you.
Okay, here we go. So to date, what has been your favorite book of all time?
This is a tough question. So I was thinking about it like I have to do it in two sections of my life. So as a young reader, I think one of my favorite books that I read was Night by Elie Wiesel. It was a book that I had to read for school, but it was so amazing and impactful. And I think I reread that book a bunch of times, and I kept it until I was like in my 20s or something and reread it. It's a book about the Holocaust. And then as an adult reader now, my favorite book right now is The Muted Series by Love Belvin. I am so in love with Ashton and Tori and their story, and I want 10 more books about them. I ordered another one of her books because I was like, okay, that's her best friend, and maybe there's going to be tidbits of her story in there. there wasn't, but that is it was such an amazing series. I'm obsessed.
That speaks to a good writer. You know, there hasn't, I think mostly all the shows that I've done so far, there hasn't been a reader who hasn't mentioned Miss Love Belvin, and that goes to speak to how great of a writer she is. Speaking of characters and books that stuck with you, what character has stuck with you long after the book ended? And it can be any book. It doesn't have to be your favorite book. Mm-hmm. But what characters have stuck with you? I guess we could just go with your answer you just gave from the Muted series.
Yes. At Tori especially, I feel like I could really identify with how she was, the muted part of her story, you know, that play on words where she clearly doesn't know how to express herself and sort of stand up for herself in a lot of the situations. Like some of the times I was just like, oh my God, you're a boxer, like, don't let them walk all over you. So I really, really love Tori as a character and identified with her. And kind of going back in the past, a quick one that I always like touches my heart and makes me cry, was a story. I think it was a short story. It's called Flowers for Algernon. And I'm going to start crying thinking about it. Yeah, that is a really touching, I can't remember the character's name in it, but there was the main character and his friend had to kill him in that, and it was just, it just broke me apart.
My goodness. Well, speaking of that, so who's your least favorite character? What character can you just not stand?
This was really hard for me because while there are some people who I'm just like, I can't stand, I don't know if I hate anyone. I love my girl Raven's answer to this. I knew it was going to be her answer was Kane from fucking Fall in Love. I'm sorry, say my fucking name. But another character I didn't really love I can't remember her name. Cynthia is her name. It's like one of the first audiobooks I listened to. It's a series, and I'm looking at my thing here to see which one. It's a 3-book series, but they don't have like the same names in all the books. The books have all different names. I can't think of it, but yeah, she was like really manipulative, and she stole the main female character's boyfriend, and then she pretended that she was pregnant to get him back because he went back to the main character, and then she killed her mom in the end because she wanted to be with the guy, and her mom was like, okay, I'm not doing this anymore. She killed her mom to try to be with this man. She was crazy.
Oh, my God.
That's a good book. That's a good book.
Who wrote this book, and what's the name of it again?
Oh, here it is. Naomi Chase is the writer, and one of the books in the series is called Betrayal. I'm looking at it here on my Audible thing.
That sounds like some juicy messiness that I want to get into.
It is. It's one of my favorite books. I listen to that book a lot. It has some great naughtiness in it too, which I'm here for all the naughty things. So,
girl, listen, I love a good naughty scene. I love when it's done in such a way where you don't feel like it's pornographic, but actually erotica. So that really gets me going. I love an author who can play on words and make us use our imagination as opposed to coming right out and telling us what's going on. So, yeah, I love that. Okay, so the next question. What's the most annoying thing a character has done that made you just want to put the book down and not finish it at all?
So I told myself I wasn't going to listen to this book series because the one before it, I was just like, I want to strangle this person. But then I found it for free, and I mean, I can't – free 99 is my favorite price. So once I found it in the library audiobooks online for free, I was like, well, I mean, of course I'm going to listen to it. But Morgan Atkins in the Butterfly series, she just – can't make up her mind, and I don't like it. She can't make up her mind who she wants. She wants to be with Matthias. She wants to be with Amik. Is she going to tell her daddy Ethic that Bash is blackmailing her? Like, she's so indecisive, and it's just like, nobody can be that dumb and naive, and I just want to slap her across the face.
Well, you know, with the advent of social media, there might be, just based on evidence, there might be some people that dumb. And indecisive.
I don't know. I mean, she's young, but come on. It just makes me want to, I knew I should have started reading those books, but I couldn't help it. I think it was Lizette I was laughing with about it, and I was like, and Lizette was like, I love a good toxic thug romance, and that's definitely what it is, and I must admit that I enjoy it too.
Well, you know, I've heard a lot about this particular series. I've also been warned to not get invested because it was going to annoy the crap out of me. So I'm still on the fence about if I want to get invested with that series.
Don't do it. I'm so mad at myself. And then now there's a book, book 4, and I'm jonesing for it. And I'm so mad at myself, and I was like, why did you do this?
Listen, you're not the only one. A couple of my reader friends are like, girl, don't even pick that series up. You're going to be back, because they know how I am, and they're just like, you're going to be mm-hmm. banging your head through the walls.
Just wait until she finishes book five, and then torture yourself and do it.
Okay. Yep. Yeah. Okay. I think I might, because I don't want to wait in between if it's gonna have me all out bent out of shape like that.
Like a pretzel, girl. Like a pretzel.
Oh my god. Okay. So, what's your favorite book of 2021 so far?
The Muted series, hands down, far and away, above and beyond. I love it. Book two and three. Book two just took me through. I was so excited for them, and I was like, yes, young love, they're going to be together. And then the end of book two just crushes you. I mean, like, bruh, one person cannot be going through all of this. And then, you know, the angst in book three and the build up, and then the happy ending. But, oh, it was, I mean, when I tell you I've literally listened to this book, no lie, well, between two and three, at least 50-plus times. I'm not – that's not hyperbole. I am so serious. I listened to it back to back to back to back to back to back, and I bought the Kindle book because I couldn't wait for book three to come out. I was the audio for three to come out, and I bought the Kindle one and read it, and then as the day it came out on audio, I bought it again and been listening to it. I love it. I love Belden. Is amazing, and I don't want to buy any more of her books because she's going to put me through it, and I'm mad.
I was introduced to Love through her Covenant with Ezra series. Yes. I don't know if that's the name of the series, but that's the book I was introduced mm-hmm. to her by. So, yes. And listen, Miss Love didn't come to play any games. You know, as a writer myself, when I pick up works by other Black women authors and the way they handle Black love, the way they handle Black women, the fact that I know I can pick up this book, and even if my Black woman main character is flawed, she's still going to find love. The end game is always Black love, and that Black man is going to love her through whatever right. she's going through. So when I pick up books by Love or Jacinta or Miss House or it's so many more, Christina C. Jones, it's so many to name, but when I want to read about Black women being loved, I go to those women because I know they're going to mm-hmm. deliver. I know that, yeah. you know, even between the drama and the angst and, you know, the plight of young love, I know that in the end, I'm going to get Black love, and I'm going to get it between Black women who look like me and you. Mm-hmm. there was a real problem back in the day with, I used to hate to always read books, and it was always typically mm-hmm. the same general description of the women. You know, I didn't necessarily see the dark skin plus size or the Black women who phenotypically look like me, brown eyes, kinky hair, brown skin. You know, so now I got a list of authors, Black women to be specific, that I can go to mm-hmm. and I can read about and see women who look like me between the pages.
Yes, I agree. I was thinking about that recently. I was like, you know, a lot of these authors, like, their Black women are like, everybody's got natural hair or locks. And I'm just like, yes, I love it. But where are these 6'3" mandingos at? Because I don't know where they are. Where are they?
Since you got to come to my part of Metro Atlanta. I think you live like a few hours away. But listen, overall,
I live in the country. You can say I live in the country. Mm-hmm.
Listen, I've seen some Black men out this way. That baby, I just stop and gawk in the middle of the street because where you come from, you know, and it reminds me of romance novels because these are the kind of men that are in romance novels. And I've been able, I'm best friends with a very popular photographer in Atlanta. So I've been able to meet a couple of these men up close and personal. And thankfully, a lot of them are very down to earth. They're pleasant to speak with, you know, so knowing that there are men out here, black men out here who look like this, and then I can go and pick up a book by a black woman who also looks like me, who's writing characters who look like me, who find in love with men who look like they belong on the cover of romance novels. And so it's been a great time for me as a reader right now. And speaking of which, who's your favorite author right now? What author is your go-to? We know Miss Love is, so I already know you're going to say her. So what other authors are your favorite right now?
Funny enough, when I look at this question, even though I do love that book series by her, I would have to say Christina C. Jones has my heart right now with her books. There is not one that I've read that is a miss. I also appreciate the one book thing. Thank you, ma'am. I can, you know, not be, you know, on this cliff all the time. every book that I've listened to from her, because most of the books that I do right now are audio books. And thank God for someone in the group that was like, oh, you can get Alexa and have it read it to you. What a game changer. Because then I have some Kindle books that I can do that way. But, but Christina C. Jones, amazing. Amazing, yes.
And I actually, because of a couple of the ladies from your group who I've done interviews with, I've actually upped my Christina C. Jones catalog. So especially with Manny being on some of those audio books.
Well, you know that's why I got it.
Okay, so if you could transport into any book, what book would it be?
Oh, God, anything with Christina C. Jones in Blackwood, I want to live there. I want to be there. I want to be in this black mecca with these fine-ass niggas, with these beautiful black women who support each other, and I don't care. Anything right there. The most recent one that I read, Love Knows, and how she describes the neighborhood, and I want to be there. I want to be there with them. That's where I want to be.
You know, I think you're the second person who said that. I think the interview I did 2 weeks ago, the young lady also said that she wanted to be transported to that specific town because of the way Miss Christina has described it and how black people are, you know, well off
thriving.
There. They're living happy and fancy free. So
yes. It's like
now,
Wakanda in America.
You know what? And we need that. I'll definitely take it.
Definitely.
Okay, so what's the most annoying thing an author has done with a character in a book for you? Like, what has been the thing that makes you say, why you do that?
I think I'd have to go back to Ashley Antoinette and the Butterfly series, but also the Ethic series before that. I was looking at some of her reviews, and sometimes I don't really pay attention to reviews, but sometimes once I'm into it and I'm reading, I was like, let me see what other people were, you know, feeling about this. And I don't know if it's just like she's trying to drag stuff out to just make it longer, but sometimes it's like, girl, stop using all these words and just get to the meat of the story. Like, I can understand what people are saying about, okay, it could have been shorter. It was just like a lot of words for no reason. But I do love the ending of it. I really enjoyed the Ethic series. It could have been probably about just 4 books, though. It was like a lot of just angst for no reason, I think, some of it. But especially in the Butterfly series. Now, in Ethic, I think Alani, because, you know, spoiler alert, you know, Ethic accidentally kills her kid in that. So I could understand why she was kind of like back and forth with it and was like, oh, I want to be with him, but no, I can't be with him because he killed my kid or whatever. But in the Butterfly series with Morgan, it was like, she didn't have to be going through all of that, and there doesn't need to be two more books, but I'm still gonna read them when they come out.
You know what? I wish I could have that same patience that you do, because baby, once the one book in the series annoy me and then I see it's going to be an ongoing thing, I will literally leave that series and then I'll go back and ask another reader, okay, tell me what happened. So,
yeah.
Because I can't put myself through it. Like, my nerves are bad.
I can see that. And you know what? The one thing with Audible is, like, before they changed it to Audible Plus, and they used to have, like, the black section of Audible, and I paid extra for that, which is where I discovered a lot of these books and authors and narrators, especially Jacoby being the main one that I was like, once I heard him on Intimate Intuition, I was like, who is this, and why is he not in my life? And I must listen to everything that he has done on here. I don't know. There were so many that kind of were cliffhangers, but then there never was another book, and I get that, but I don't know. Maybe I'm a glutton for punishment, I just wanted to see what the end of it was, so maybe that's why I went back, but I could see just being like, nah, let me just ask somebody else what happened, and I get the short
version. Yeah, because listen, my nerves are bad. Like, I do that with movies too. Or, I mean, well, TV series. If the TV series starts to annoy me, I'll be like, you know what, y'all can kiss my romp. I'm done. Y'all ain't finna have me pulling out my hair. Okay.
Yeah,
so,
like, I can't understand why people are still watching Grey's Anatomy, but yeah, another story for another day.
So I can't understand why people are still watching The Walking Dead, but again, another story for another day. Okay, so in your opinion, the book industry changed for the better?
How has the book industry changed for the better? I think,
like, as a reader, what changes do you see that are more prevalent and more positive than there was before?
Yeah, I think with the advent of e-books and more of a digital-based thing, like these independent authors are able to get more traction because you don't have to depend on, like, a big house to, you know, pick up your book and distribute it. I actually have a friend who I went to high school with, and she published a book, and I told her to submit it for our, you know, our Thursday Night Turned On series, and I don't know why she didn't, even though she joined our group. But I was so proud of her. I read the book, and it was so good. So, you know, for someone like that to be able to independently publish their book and have readers and have people out there supporting them and getting other people to join in, and, you know, like you said, you're a reader, a writer as well as a reader. And I know when I listened to Bisensual, I went to the group and I was like, y'all, I don't know what y'all doing, but I need y'all to stop and go and listen to this book because, OMG, I can't even talk. I was flabbergasted and flummoxed about it, but it was amazing. So I think for that reason, it's definitely improved, and for us, for Black people, because of course, you know, we're going to be the ones who get the short end of the stick for the most part. You know, Zane and those kind of people, Carl Weber, you know, they've been able to do things, but that's not the majority. So I'm so happy that it's been able to do that for smaller authors.
Okay, so with less than 2 minutes left, tell us what you're reading right now. What book is on your desk right now?
Right now I am listening to, you're going to hate me, an Ashley and Jaquavis book, actually.
Oh, Lord, I feel like
the Jaquavis wrote this more though than her, because it's not all super wordy and over wordified. But I'm enjoying it. It's called Murderville. There's three books, so right now I'm on book one. And I've got some other stuff queued up. I got the new one that Manny just dropped, Love and Law by Asia Monique. So I'm looking forward to that because it's 10 hours of Emmanuel. No, not Emmanuel. I'm sorry. That is Benjamin Charles on that one. Yeah, his voice is doing something to me. So I'm looking forward to that.
Okay, my outro music is about to start. I want to say thank you so much for that. No, you're fine. Thank you so much, Katie. I really, really appreciate you coming on this show and chilling with me. And don't forget to open your box and take a picture.
I will. Thank you so much, Nikki. Congrats.
Thank you.
That was 10 Minutes with a Reader with your host, Nikki Michelle. Thank you for tuning in and stay tuned for the next chapter.